the gift of witchcraft.
I was able to see, hear, and communicate with spirits.
A very personal relationship between a person and spirit.
Carnal lust and fun things like that.
Working with different energies and spirits and communicating.
Creating magic.
Powerful ritual and powerful spells.
She's actually sticking me in the cauldron.
The role of the witch is to make change.
Bless it be, y'all.
Bless it be.
People ask me, like, okay, I'm a witch and I don't know what to do.
20 years ago, three young friends realized they were witches.
They scattered to different parts of the world, following magic and spirit.
Now, they're back in their hometown to share what they've learned.
Welcome to That Witch Life Podcast, your home for living as a witch in today's world.
Hail and welcome, everyone. This is That Witch Life Podcast. I am Courtney.
I'm Hillary.
And this is Kanani.
And, welcome to springtime, everyone. I mean, spring is, for me...
Has it sprung?
No. It's so, okay, it's so weird. All right, so here's the thing. We all grew up in Oregon, and Oregon doesn't have spring.
No.
Oregon just has
rain.
And then it has more rain.
More rain, and then some summer. And then some very brief, very hot.
Yes.
And then rain.
Yeah, then we have Phoenix for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then...
Now it's even longer and it's horrible and I hate it.
Oh, God. So, I don't know. When I was growing up, I would watch Disney movies where all the little animals would come out and bounce around because it was springtime and I never got it. And I always thought that it was something Disney made up.
But it's like that in other places.
It is like that in other places. I grew up... When I went to New York, and my first winter in New York, it was one of the coldest winters they'd had in decades. And it was so awful. And there was no color anywhere in the city. And, you know, being from Oregon, we're used to it being green year round. But then one, and it was icy and the snow was gray. And, oh, it was awful. But then one day, it was like beginning of April, I walked outside and the trees were budding and you could hear birds. And the snow was actually melting. And I was like, oh, it's spring. And I was so excited. And I was like, oh, this is why the little birds and the little fawns dance in the Disney movies and the stuff like that. I never knew that before, but we're talking about springtime, even though we're still dealing with second winter here in Oregon. But we believe that for many of you, at least in the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere, I know it's a little different for you all, but up here, that's pretty exciting. So we are talking about springtime magic, but first I'd love to check in with my co-hosts and say, how the hell are you? What's going on?
I'm pretty good. It's been a busy week. I had a bunch of people in town for a performance that I was working on. So the chaos of prepping for a performance and kind of like everyone being here and then exiting is good. My partner was up here. It was great to see him. So it's been like, yeah, it's been a good week. It's nice. I'm getting over a cold and finally feeling like a human again. So yeah, it's been a hectic but good and happy.
I feel like this podcast has cursed you because every single thing you're either dealing with latex allergy or cold is just like it's
well,
just
that's
not
the thing
fair.
About like allergy is when you have a bad allergic reaction, you have to go on steroids, which suppresses your immune system, which makes you get sick because other people are sick, and of course everybody's sick because it's that season. So
it's the season of the sickness.
So it's like unless I stayed in my house, which let's be honest, I don't do. Yeah, it's inevitable, but I'm definitely feeling better. So I'm finally a human again.
And you came to visit me yesterday.
I did.
Yeah.
I came to visit you, and met your puppy Ichabod, who's super cute.
Yeah.
He got to play with, my dog Riley, who they were super cute. It was like at first everyone was like, who are you?
My puppy was like trying to be all fierce, like, meh, don't you come near my human.
Well, Riley's a big girl. She's like almost 80 pounds. So I think suddenly it's like, what the hell is this? So we went for a nice walk and we came back and they played chase in the yards. It was really cute.
Yeah. And then my favorite thing though was...
Oh yeah, this is really sweet.
Ichabod comes from a puppy mill situation and his mother was feral and his mother had been abused. And so he learned from her that humans were scary. So we're doing a lot of work with that. By teaching them that, you know, a lot of humans are nice and you're with safe humans now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be okay. We're on this walk. These really nice neighbors of mine come out and they're like, oh my God, puppy and dog, how cute. And they want to pet Ichabod and he's really scared. And he turned and looked at Riley like, what do I do? And
yeah.
Riley looked at him and she walked right up to the neighbors and just sat there and got her head scratched. And Ichabod was like, oh,
we get head
scratches? I got it. And so then he walked right up next to her and stood there and got his head scratched. And I wanted to cry. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen. And Hillary and I are all like, oh my God, the cute dog things.
Because really
little Riley, well, big Riley was teaching little Ichabod, who will not be little much longer. He's going to be a monster.
He's going to be a monster. He's a beast.
He's
going to
be a big guy. That was just so sweet just to watch them interact and pick that up. So that was pretty remarkable.
It was really cute. It was like, so that was really fun.
Oh yeah.
So and of course it was good to see you and Brian too.
I know. Well, we were exhausted. We haven't slept much because the puppy.
Yeah. Puppies are like having toddlers. They're a lot of work.
Kanani, I wanted to ask you, how long did it take to crate train your children? Because that's like, it's not easy.
Question. It's not easy to get them to not go in their crate. I got to tell you that, you know, the crate is for sleeping. The crate is not for pooping and peeing in your diaper. So, you know, it's not an easy life lesson.
Are they doing it now?
Eventually. Yes. My daughter has decorated her crate with arts and crafts and pictures and beads, of course. My son is very into stickers for his crate. But yes, they no longer pee or poop in said crate.
For the people who maybe didn't realize this, we are kidding. Kanani does not lock her children in crates, even if she feels like they might deserve it once in a while.
We do not support people putting children in crates.
I would actually love to say that to my children because of the look that they would give me. Just like, really? Really with this? This is what we're doing right now?
Oh,
like,
God.
This is the conversation we're having?
No, I loved it that the other day when you called me, and we were, this is the thing, problem, since Kanani does not tell me when her children are in the car.
My children are almost always in the car.
But then she just calls me, and she's just, and so then, you know, at one time she happened to call me when I was really mad about something, and I used every expletive that I could think of to describe a situation. I was yelling, I was making threats. And Kanani's just sitting there quiet. And then all of a sudden, the backseat, I hear, hi, Auntie Coco. And I'm like...
And my children didn't even flinch, by the way. They're just like, wow, listen to her.
And then I said...
Listen to her
I was
go.
Like, darling, you know not to repeat what Auntie Coco
You're
said.
You're like, have you been there the whole time?
I did. I said, the whole time? Yes. You know not to repeat what Auntie Coco says, right? I know. But that was like, you called me the other day. And she was saying, Kanani was like, I've got to go get supplies because we record these a few weeks early. So we were about to have the snowpocalypse in Portland that never happened. And so Kanani was like, I got to go get supplies in case this thing happens. So I'm going to go buy a bunch of wine. And
side note, people in Portland do not know how to prepare for the snow.
No. So Kanani's in the car saying she's going to go get wine because that is her supply of choice because she's smart. And then in the back seat, her daughter goes, Mommy, you don't need wine. And both Kanani and I went, you don't know. And she goes, I do so. What did she say?
No, she goes, yeah.
And I'm like, please. And I've given her this lecture.
So she's your daughter then.
Yes, exactly.
She is Kanani like cloned. It's not her daughter.
No, it's not even funny.
It is like the mini me or the baby Groot.
And
and
I'll never tell her this until she's much, much older, but she's also much smarter than I am, which is just infuriating. She is me and she is the better version of me. So I'm just like, crap, how am I going to get through
so
this?
So you imagine it's like Galadriel and then Galadriel with the ring. That's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
If Kanani is Galadriel, her daughter is Galadriel with the ring.
Yes.
But how many times have I talked to your daughter saying, hey, look, whoever is paying the bills gets to eat cake before lunch. That's the way it works. And she used to just like take it in and go, oh, okay, that makes sense. If you're paying all the bills, of course you can eat cake before lunch. But now she's like, you know what? I don't see the connection between paying the bills and why I have to wait for a cake until after lunch and why Mommy and Auntie Coco can have cake after breakfast.
She was a natural born skeptic. She has been like that since she was an infant. And it's infuriating.
Which improves that you can be a skeptic and be a witch. Because your little girl is definitely a witch.
Oh, absolutely.
But she's also a skeptic.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, this is a really powerful magic time. And just like I was saying before, it's taken me a while to really connect with spring because I love summer. We all love fall. Fall is everybody's favorite season.
Fall's the best.
I like early winter. I'm kind of done with winter by the end of it. But
yeah,
spring,
same.
You know, like I said, for most of my life, spring was just more like a slug, like, oh, it's still raining. And so you know, it's really been since I've been involved in witchcraft, like how important springtime is. Actually, it was the spring equinox around March 21st when I first put on a pentacle and walked outside publicly and was like, I'm a witch. And nobody was surprised. I thought there would be some kind of... but no.
Shock, horror.
And just kind of the blank expressions you're both giving me right now, like, yeah.
Yeah, we knew.
We knew. And you know, it is the cliche thing is that it's time for new beginnings. It's time for planting. But I also feel like this is a time for really, like, the spring cleaning thing is not just a physical act. It is a magical act, yeah, too. And we have Luna Pantera coming on later in the show to tell us how to do it right,
yeah,
which is why we bring guests on.
Yeah.
But what do you two do? What are your spring rituals like?
I always try and set really clear intentions for myself in the spring because I feel like, again, it's like during winter, it's cold. I'm like, I don't feel good. Like, I don't want to get outside. Like, I'm just, it's easy to kind of hibernate and get lazy. So I tend to, and actually it's funny because I've talked to a couple people who were like, yeah, it's really funny because everyone goes, it's like December 1st, everyone's like New Year's resolutions. But it's like, I think actually it might've been you that I was talking to about this, but New Year's resolutions. Oh yeah. And then it's like, wait, no, actually this is the worst time to set an intention because it's the middle of winter and like no one,
yeah,
everyone's like wants to hibernate and we're just like kind of not feeling super motivated. So I always try and set really clear intentions for myself in spring, both like spiritually, personally, emotionally, and kind of, that's when I start to kind of generate goals for myself. And I also often, once it's starting to get light again, I start to really want to clean, like be like deep clean my house because it's like, you start to see like, oh yeah, there's dust in that corner. I don't, you know.
Oh, the spice cabinet is full of things I'm not using.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I think naturally I end up kind of doing this spring cleaning thing, but yeah, I also find, I tend to get remotivated in spring. So I kind of use that both in a ritualistic sense in like setting like physical intentions or doing ritual around intentions, but also just on a personal level, kind of saying, okay, like let's get our shit together and start putting the plans into action.
Yeah. What about you, Kanani? You've like,
spring. All right. So I feel like I'm in like a confessional booth right now. Because
this is just between us, by the way.
No one else can hear this. Just you two.
Secret too. Not all of our listeners.
So I am something that I swore my entire life that I would never be. I am a soccer mom.
I'm like, okay, I gotta go then. So
wait, say it again. You're a soccer mom?
I am a soccer mom.
Oh,
so fall. So spring for me, it also happens in the fall, but also now a part of spring is trekking kids to and from soccer all spring long, which means there are times where I'm sitting in the rain watching tiny humans run back and forth on a field while I'm standing in the rain. And
you're pretending like you're happy when they score a goal.
I do it willfully and I still don't understand it myself, but there we are.
Wow.
But the spring, I also am very much into the whole spring cleaning, just getting rid of stuff.
Purging, yeah.
And purging. And I think a big part of that is because your life is so consumed the months prior with all of the holidays and things that happened. And at least in my family, a lot of the birthdays and anniversaries and stuff also happened during that holiday season. Kind of once you get to spring and you're past that, you just kind of want to slough that away.
Yeah, right.
And move forward. And so I definitely also do like the spring cleaning. I do a lot of, suddenly I'm much more aware of the energy that's in the home. We always do like a really good saging of the house and cleansing of the house, things like that.
Yeah.
Which really you should be doing all the time, but for some reason that it's focused for me at that time of year is you're just trying to draw in, you know, you're getting rid of all of the chaos that had been.
Yeah, for sure.
And trying to bring in the calm. And so we do a lot of that kind of stuff. We do a lot of just cleaning clutter. We also do a cleansing of the house. The kids will often do a spring altar. They each have little altars that they have, and we kind of take away the stuff that was from winter where they had like maybe pine cones and evergreen branches and things like that that represented winter, and you know, we'll put out some, you know, spring type items for their little altar. And
yeah, you mentioned like cleaning your house. I'm a big fan of magical floor washes.
Oh,
and
yeah,
because same. It's just, I learned these techniques from my friends who are in Espiritismo, which is a Puerto Rican spiritualism. And it's like, you know, there are herbs you can use, or you can even just bless water. And then that water becomes your mopping fluid. And like your, and some of my favorite ingredients for floor wash, anything with lemon or citrus.
Yes.
Especially like really pungent. I mean, orange is good, but orange is a little sweet. I'm really like lemon juice or boiling some lemon verbena or lemon balm. I like vinegar and things that just like you imagine as having like a natural antiseptic quality to it. Salt. Something that I also like to use, which is really abundant in the Pacific Northwest, is blackberry thorn. And I put it in this pot and I boil it for a while and then I strain everything out. And then you can save some of that to actually use as a bath in the shower if you want to cleanse yourself. You know, or you can put it in your mopping floor, even with your soaps and things like that, and mop your floors. And it's really important. Make sure you start at the back of your house and then you mop toward the front of your house or your apartment. And then you're like pushing out the old nasty energy. And then a lot of times you do want to go back in, you know, with you could do it with sage, or you could do it with a second floor wash of things you want to bring into your house. So you might be thinking about like your second floor wash might have basil in it, which will bring you money.
Or I really like using yarrow.
Yarrow, yeah.
Yarrow is really good because it's like a very uplifting, positive, kind of bringing in positive affirmations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Herb. I use that a lot.
Lavender for peace and harmony. Of course, if you're looking for romance, that's when you probably want to add some of your orange, because orange brings, but only a little bit, because having actual orange juice on your floor is going to bring ants. Maybe like a little tiny pinch of orange in a big bucket of water and you're fine, or some,
you might also be able to do like an orange, like a citrus oil, like an orange essential oil.
Exactly. And then it's like, so don't just send stuff away. You also then want to bring stuff in. But, I also think of springtime as just like a big resetting, you know, and also it's for me, when I'll actually start to collect herbs again from my yard. Because I have my witchcraft is very deity focused, and most of my deities come from the Celtic region.
Yeah.
At Halloween or Samhain was when harvesting was off limits after that. Anything left in the field was considered property of the fairies. Now, I don't know when they were okay to harvest again, so I've in my mind made it so that it's around the spring equinox on March 21st. So I'm starting to, so that's already infusing my magical intent to be able to get back out into my yard and pull in the weeds, because all of my magical stuff are actually weeds in my yard. Be able to pull those things back in. And so I'm looking forward to that. So what I'm planning to do in the weeks between now and spring is actually go out and start talking to these plants and telling them what I want to use them for, and wake them up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, as it gets closer to, by the time our listeners hear this, like spring will be on you, but doesn't mean you can't take a couple of days and go to your yard or your park. And, you know, it takes something that's sustainably harvested, stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. So it's, but actually, Kanani, you have a resource you wanted to talk about today.
Oh, I was just going to talk about some of the stuff that you can do if you do have children that are kind of more, more spring focused. I definitely think that, spring is a good time to help them, you know, go through their things. Just like we're talking about how we do it within a house. Kids, my kids do that all the time. My kids will go through and they'll start taking out, you know, they'll take the sweaters out of their drawer and then they'll put in more short sleeve shirts, that kind of thing. They'll go through their toys and they realize that they got all these books and toys for the holidays and they don't really play with these anymore. And we give them, you know, to a local children's shelter and we donate them and things like that. And my kids are used to it, so they don't have any kind of aversion to giving things up, because this is something that we routinely do. I also do it with them usually after their birthdays, because there's usually an influx of stuff. And I'm just like, you know what? There's more stuff, but there's not more room. Yeah, so that means other stuff has to go.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, a good activity to do with kids. I actually have a really great book. It's called Celebrating the Great Mother. And it's a handbook of earth honoring activities for parents and children. And it's written by Kate Johnson and Maura D. Shaw. And I kind of looked through it to see if I could find some good examples. And it talks, there's a lot about different spring and Ostara type activities. And what was funny is I noticed in here that there was a lot of talk about making your own incense and things about like having a safe and loving home, protection, power, true love. So what was funny to me was that it's not necessarily kid focused or just necessarily holiday focused. They realized that the same cycles of life happen in a child's life that happen in an adult's life. So this is also a time for new beginnings for them. They're going to probably make new friends this year. Their lives at school aren't so fixated by different holidays and things like that. Even if you homeschool, it might have been part of your curriculum that you did. So now it's more kind of people focused, less event focused, because there's not as much stuff going on at that time of year. And so there's just different kinds of activities that you can do with them, as well as my daughter's getting older now, and one of the things that she really is into is meditation.
Oh, okay.
And there was actually a really cool spring meditation that I was going to try with her. So it's a good book. It's something I think people might be interested in.
But it sounds like it could actually be good for adult practitioners too. It could be good for
anyone.
Yeah, because it's like the rituals seem very easy and accessible. And so
they're very easy. They're very accessible. One of the things that I like is like it teaches you how to make it's has a lot of crafts in it. Well, adults like crafts too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they love like how to make a true love incense. Like what adult doesn't want to know that? But one of the things I really like about it was that it dials things down to a young age appropriate level. But at the same time, it acknowledges the fact that just because they're children doesn't necessarily mean that what they're experiencing is all that different than what we're experiencing. They're just experiencing it in a different way.
Yeah. So what are your personal plans for magical intention this particular spring? We've talked about things in general, but anything specific you're focusing on for this particular springtime?
For me, it's and I talked a little bit, I think, about this in the last podcast or maybe a couple podcasts ago. So I'm doing a UI design course. It's a user interface design course, and it's like it's very weird being a student, having not been a student for a very long time. For me, it's really getting back into the mind space of a learning person. And it's also, being really kind to myself and not getting super frustrated, because I have a tendency to be like, I couldn't figure it out in the first time, I can't do it, you know? And it's like, it's just because I haven't been in this space where I'm learning. It's, you know, this could be in a different language. It's that different. And so, for me, it's focusing on balancing that with work, with performance art, and making sure that, all of those things are kind of paid attention to. And I did helped host a ritual, with a couple of friends, specifically around kind of planting seeds for spring. And it was really nice because oddly there was supposed to be a larger group of people, but, it was a smaller group, and we all had very similar intentions. And I think that it was neat because it was all around like a lot of the negative head talk, letting go of that, or learning how to acknowledge it and like realizing it's there, but also understanding that you don't have to listen to it. I'm always pushing to my singing students, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, which is really like a book for kind of creative recovery. But it really talks a lot about kind of managing the conditioning that we've had that we allow to seep into how we feel about ourselves when we're creating. And that doesn't necessarily have to be just in music and art. I mean, I think it's relevant for a lot of things. But, you know, I think that one of the things that I really focused on in that was bringing in the ability to be kind and patient with myself, to recognize that it's okay to not have all the answers. And so that, you know, kind of the work I've been doing around setting intentions for spring is really just setting a really clear path for what I want. And part of that is working towards, having a career that is a little more sustainable so that I can actually have the artistic things that I do be joyful and not a chore, which I think they have been for a while. When you're really having to hustle, hustle, hustle for your art, sometimes it becomes a chore. And that's not for everyone, but for me, that's how it's become. And so it's really nice to be doing a work course that is creative based, but that I think will be a good career shift. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, for me, I've had some magical intentions that have been going on for a while. Like my spells tend to be years in the making instead of just doing, you know, something that's seasonal. But I feel like I can you know, the breath of spring helps breathe new life into the work that I've already started. So if I started doing, and you know, you don't want to talk about what magic you're doing while you're doing it.
No.
It's like opening the oven while you have a cake in there. So if you know, if I were doing a love spell, which I'm not, that's why I'm using this as an example, I would not tell people that I'm doing a love spell,
right,
you know, to bring love in. I would just do the spell and then talk about it later. So I'm not specifying exactly what magic I'm doing, but like to bring, just to say, you know, this, these energies of spring, you know, give them a breath and allow your magic to like, to breathe, you know, and that, because we talk about, oh, air is one of the magical influences. Air is breath. And so your spells and your magic have to breathe as well. And so I feel like spring is coming in to just kind of fill up the lungs of the work I'm already doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think as far as my kind of work right now, it's mostly fixated, at least in the current month and probably a couple months, mostly on getting rid of what was. And then kind of after I feel like I've cleansed the house and I feel like it has a really, really great vibe, that's when I kind of really start focusing on what I want to bring in.
Yeah.
And peace and, you know, love and success. I feel very, it sounds kind of cliche, but I feel very blessed. And sometimes I feel like I don't even realize how good I have it. And I want to. I want to be more appreciative and to feel like, you know, I really understand, you know, the depth of how good we are. And because you're always so, at least for myself, I'm always so focused on what needs to be or what we need to do or what needs to happen or what could happen. Wouldn't it be great if we could do X, Y, Z? I forget that we live a really great life. We've got great, happy, healthy kids. And sometimes you just need to kind of sit in that for a while and be happy and not worry so much about, you know, you can't just take them on vacation whenever you want because it's expensive. You can't just do this. But look at what you do have.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of trying to get back into that space of just all of us understanding and appreciating where we are.
Yeah. And there's, I think gratitude is such an important and overlooked part of magic.
Yes.
That is, the more thankful you are, then it opens the blessings that come to you.
Exactly.
And I think there's a lot of ways to look at that because there are a lot of people that have had a lot of nasty things befall them. It's not because they weren't gracious, but so I'm going to make that very, very clear. But I'm also saying that, you know, make it part of your magical practice to
give
thanks regularly and not just in the fall, because a lot of times witches associate the fall as a time, because it is, it's a time when the harvest is coming in, but like, you know, the earth doesn't stop working, you know,
exactly.
Our spirits don't stop working, so we can thank them any time of the year. And perhaps before we start setting intention for springtime, we first might need to start with gratitude.
Yeah, be grateful.
So I'm putting out there, I'm very, very thankful for the blessings that I have, for my sweet little puppy. You know,
so
he is so cute. And, you know, my husband, whom I, you know, love, and our house, and like, just, you know, lucky. I really do feel very, very lucky. And no, I don't get to go on crazy, like, I've never been to Hawaii. I don't get to go on crazy vacations
exactly.
and stuff.
Well, that's where you have to reground yourself
right.
and realize, like,
well,
you're not a failure because
you can't do
X, Y, and
yeah.
Z. Like, it's okay. Like, make certain things goals, and that's great. But the fact that you just can't do it,
doesn't
that's
mean,
okay.
Yeah, totally.
That's okay.
I also think that having, like, a regular gratitude practice is so important for spiritual and emotional well-being, because it really does. I think that it's very easy, especially, like, you know, there's a lot going on in the world right now that is very heavy, that's really emotionally intense. And for people that are out there doing the work, that are doing activist work, it's really tiring. And so I think having that time to focus on things that you are grateful for, that are positive, really helps balance that out. Because I know when I am just bogged down, it's very easy to get in this mindset of like, oh, this is going wrong, and everything is a complaint and everything is a frustration. And that's not good for our emotional well-being, but that's also really not good for our spiritual and energetic well-being, because what we're doing is just like focusing on all these things, and it kind of blinds us to being able to bring in more positive things. And I think to bring them in, we also have to recognize where they're needed and also where they're abundant. So it's like,
well, and I feel like that's kind of
a magical space that gets lost in between getting rid of the old and bringing in the new, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't get rid of everything.
No, it's honoring right? the currents.
You yes, you get rid of what is not serving you and what you don't need anymore, but there's still stuff that you keep. There's still stuff that is serving you, that is helpful, that you should be grateful to have and happy that you have this. And then once you have that, then you can bring in, you know, the new that you're needing and wanting. But I feel like that's almost kind of... like we've tapped into this kind of like middle space that we always go through, you know, what you don't need and what you want to bring in. Well, there's actually a space in between of just finding contentment in that space and realizing, okay, here I am and I'm okay. What now could I bring in that would be helpful and it might serve me?
I think that balance is too like past, present and future. It's because we tend to think a lot about past and we tend to think a ton about future. And what we want and what this, and then what we are upset about that happened and how to fix that. But we often forget about present, which I think includes that gratitude and
absolutely.
And focus on, you know, like what we have. So I think it's really important. I think having goals and thinking about the future is really important. I think that dealing with the past and maybe traumas or energetically what's happened in the past is really important. But I think that honoring now and like being really focused and present on what is happening now, and making very like small attainable goals is like really important. I try when I'm, I tell this to my students a lot, but I also use it, for myself is when I'm setting intentions as well as just setting goals in general, I try not to be like, I want this giant thing that's way off in the distance, because it's like, you're not going to get that thing tomorrow or next week or maybe even next year. So I think breaking it down into small attainable asks, small attainable goals, so that you are making progress towards a larger goal.
Yeah, while not forgetting about
why not forgetting.
And that's the thing. The challenge with present thinking is sometimes I think people forget that it is only the present. They look at what's right in front of them, and it's like, you know, I don't like the way my body feels right now. I'm really upset. And you get so mired in what's happening right now, and so there. I think that there needs to be a healthy detachment from the frustrations of the now as well. So focus on the now, but also remember that the now is temporary.
Yeah, it's the balance. Yeah, it's because having that balance. Yeah.
Because I think sometimes when I hear people say things like, it's always like this, or my house is always a mess, or my coworkers are always assholes. Well, then you're telling magically the universe that that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, so I tell people, or they say, I don't have any money, or I don't have enough money, I would say, add yet.
Yeah.
So I don't have enough money yet.
Right.
You know, or
right
I'm,
now.
Or
yeah.
I'm you know, too financially strapped right now.
Yeah.
So that you're, because I think when you're living a witch and you're living, you can't just be a witch when you want to cast a spell. You need to be a witch constantly. And so I catch myself a lot about not making these grand, verbose statements, even if they're really funny, because I don't want the universe doesn't have quite the sense of humor that I do. And so I don't want the universe. So I'm saying, oh, my work isn't having the impact that I want. My writing isn't reaching as many people that I want. I say right now, or I say it's not.
That's
so
important.
Yeah. So it's like, so that I'm saying this is part of the ongoing goal I have is to be able to live full time off of my writing and my tarot and our work together on this podcast. But I can't, you know, if it's not there yet, I have to keep saying it's not there yet. So anytime I want to see something blossom, I've got to always add those conditions to it.
I think that's true for present, for future, because it's when we say these really finite, like immovable phrases, right? We create something that is a container that's boxed in.
I think that one of the things that, you know, we kind of hit on is the fact that spring, like fall, are very kind of transitionary.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's, you know, it may be something, you know, that seems as simple as the season, the truth is that there is a lot of emotional and biological changes that happen in those seasons that start getting our minds thinking about, you know, certain things, whether we realize it or not, because as we're all talking about it, these are all things that we do at this time of the year.
Yeah.
And if you were to talk about people who do not consider themselves witches, they're going to say very similar things.
It's deeply ingrained in our consciousness.
Yeah,
spring is very much a transitional time for much everyone.
Everybody.
Yeah, and so as witches, we can grab a hold of that energy.
Exactly.
And utilize it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So With that, here to talk about how to use spring magic is Luna Pantera.
She is a native San Franciscan whose mother always teased her that she would have been a flower child if she hadn't been 3 years old when Summer of Love happened. She is a lifelong activist on women's health and choice, LGBTI rights, environmental and social justice rights for all, and she is a black cis woman and a mother of a fiery Virgo. Luna has been a practicing tarot for over 30 years and considers herself a healer. I'm going to attest to that. She is a healer, and she is one who helps others connect to their own magic and intuition. She comes from a long line of magical folks on all sides of her family, and she works to connect others with their own ancestors to heal and gather the knowledge, magic, and wisdom of their lines. She is a founder of the Theater of the Ancestors and has presented the Mary Magdalene Rosary at several magical festivals, including and not limited to Pantheacon, and she hopes that the rosary can be a way to help others work through their own emotions and maneuver the complicated energy surrounding the world today. Luna, thank you so much for being with us today.
Gran, well, thank you for having me. This is fabulous. It's like a break from Pecan, which is always a lovely thing sometimes.
Yeah. So for our listeners, we actually record these several weeks in advance. So although we're talking about springtime magic, it's actually the weekend of President's Day. Luna is at Pantheacon, which is the biggest magical pagan witchcraft conference possibly in the world, definitely in the United States. Would it be the world, Luna, would you say?
You know, probably at least indoor, because, yeah, we probably take over the Doubletree in San Jose for the 3-day weekend, so it's great.
Yeah, this is a massive hotel complex. It's basically its own city, so that's... I really appreciate you taking time out of the conference to come and talk with us. So to begin, we always ask our guests, how did you get started into witchcraft, or how did you know that you were a witch?
So I love telling this story, and I do have a Reader's Digest version. Basically, Courtney knows I grew up extreme Catholic in San Francisco. I went to Catholic school, St. Vincent de Paul, started the Sea Academy, and 2 years at a Jesuit college, USF. And basically, when I was going through my Saturn return, I looked at the Catholic Church, and I looked at my views and the views of the church, and I realized we had come to a head. So I basically left the church, and for 2 years I went on a journey trying to find where my spirituality was, and it took me from every religion you could think of. And my hairdresser, who actually got me into this, the whole tarot and everything, he was a part of a metaphysical church that's since gone in San Francisco on Venice Avenue, and he took me to a workshop in Tarot. Hated the workshop, but there was a bookstore attached, and I was walking down the aisles of the bookstore, and literally the book that fell to my feet was The Truth About Witchcraft by Scott Cunningham. Was terrified, got the book, took it home, read it in like 2 hours. That was on a Tuesday. On Sunday, I was at my first magical ritual. It was Louisa Teach and Starhawk, a winter solstice ritual, and then 2 weeks later, I was taking my first magical class with Claiming, and the rest, they say, is herstory.
Wow. It sounds similar to Kanani's journey.
It's
minus just, the Catholicism. It sounds
yes. Yes. It's one of those things, like, it's like once you found it, bam, there you go.
And that's how it happens for some people, too, is you're literally in a bookstore and something jumps off the shelf.
And, exactly.
And so I love that. It's like when the spirits want us on board, they will. But I really think that's awesome, Luna, that you jumped right in, because so many people will wait a long time and say, I'm scared, I want to do it right. And you just said, I'm just going to get in. This is my path, and I'm doing it.
Well, you know, you have to remember, I'm a Sagittarius with 4 planets in Leo, including my rising and my Mars. So once I find something, it's like, okay, let's do this with no fear. So, yeah, it was. And plus, you know, I'm very blessed. I grew up in the Bay Area, and, you know, we used to have a brick-and-mortar store, Phil's Bookstore, and it was like a place you can go and find out anything about any sort of metaphysical information. So it was just the right place, the right time, and the right community.
Awesome. Well, whatever you're willing to share, you tell our listeners about your witchcraft practice. One of the things that we've been talking a lot about the last couple episodes is how creative and unique witchcraft practice is. And so we love to hear from our guests, what do you do?
So, you know, it's very interesting. You know, one of the things I definitely want to talk about is my ancestor work, because that's my passion. But it's funny how things work out. I have been, like, I was initiated with Reclaiming for like 12 years. And Reclaiming is known as like a kind of a fairy, you know, Celtic tradition. And that's kind of what I was, you know, raised on. So I still, you know, worship, like, you know, Bridget, Kernunus, and, you know, those guys. And another thing that drew me, like a former lover, he introduced me to Orishas. And so I work very, very strongly in the Ifa tradition, and I have my patron Orishas. And part of my journey doing ancestor work in DNA is I found out that I am definitely like almost 25% Nigerian. Wow. So that was almost like the religion was calling me home. And I've been studying with Hilary Geller for the last 5.5 years, Anderson Ferry. So that's also a part. So I'm kind of like most of us, very eclectic. I respectfully draw from the different traditions. And I have like a daily practice that I do that's, you know, anywhere from like a half an hour to an hour, depending on how much time I have, kind of get me grounded and centered to, you know, go forth in the world. But I'm a total, like, I'm so blessed living in Northern California. We have the mountains, the oceans, the forest. So I love being out in nature and stuff. So it's really just fabulous. So I'm very blessed to have, you know, growing up in the Bay Area and having so many things that a lot of people would kill for at my doorstep, that whenever I feel like I need to go connect with the Mother Ocean, I can go do some ritual down there. I can go hiking in Mount Diablo or, you know, Mount Tam. So I'm just so happy. So yeah, I'm basically, I would say, if you call my daily, my spirituality, it's nature based, very much so, because a lot of my ritual I do in nature. And because I'm a child of Oya, I love going to the graveyard. I've done some amazing rituals out in graveyards and stuff. So I'm, yeah.
Yeah.
Very all over the place.
So I remember going to your, when I was at PCON last year, Hilary and I were trying to decide if she came with me to that ritual. We decided, I don't think that you did. I'm so sorry you missed this, because you would have loved it so much. But you led that ritual. It was a packed room, and not just like a little room, it was a giant conference room, like a ballroom that you had full of people wishing to connect to ancestor. And I think that what I remember most from it was the passion you brought for your own ancestors and your own journey as much. And I think that sometimes when people go to witchcraft classes, you've got this, you know, people kind of get into this guru mentality. And you know, and sometimes I think there's pressure on teachers that way too, to pretend like, you know, oh, I'm, this is how you do, and this is, I've got it all figured out. And you clearly you were an expert on this. That was not to deny, but you also were like, hey, this is what I'm going through, and this is where it's hard, and this is what I'm working with. And I just was like, thank you, because it's always going to be hard. Witchcraft is always going to challenge us. And you just named it and was unapologetic about it. And I still remember the feelings I had in my heart and gut being in that space with you.
Oh, well, thank you. I think, you know, Courtney, one of the things is I've studied with some amazing teachers over the years, and I'm not going to name drop. And I've also seen these people that when I work with them, they were human, and, you know, they were not ashamed to show their, like, you know, their blemishes. And I've seen them grow in popularity where they become, dare we say, big name pagans, and they stop owning their stuff. And I've seen these amazing human beings, these amazing mentors. I don't know. I can't describe it, but they are making mistakes and not owning it. And a lot of them I love dearly, and they have definitely tarnished what I know them to really be. And I think I'm very blessed. I have friends. One of them, I'm rooming with this weekend, Jackie and Beverly, who we've made a pledge to always check ourselves to make sure we don't become the message instead of the messenger. So for me, I know that it really helps to let people know, because, yeah, I do ancestor work. And, you know, these are the things I've run into, because, yes, there's so much medicine and so much magic and so much beauty and so much love by working with them. And a lot of times when you start working with them, you find out, okay, this is why this happened to me. And what do I do about it? And so, you know, one of the things, especially if deep things come up with my clients, I really encourage them to seek outside, because spirituality can only do so much. I'm a big proponent, as someone who's been in therapy for 2 years, trauma can only sometimes be dealt with a professional. The magic, working with the ancestors, can kind of spotlight it, but sometimes, excuse me, it's really important that you have a professional to help you really unpackage it in a way that's safe for your mental health.
Oh, thank you for saying that, because I've run into so many, as you know, we call baby witches who are new at this, and,
yes.
And magic just opens up the vault and drags all this stuff out. And then there's a sense of thinking magic can replace therapy, and it can't. It cannot. And I say, you know, magic can be therapeutic,
but
it is not therapy.
For sure.
You know, and just like magical communities can be supportive, but they are not support groups. And so
yes.
I just really appreciate you saying that. So
I felt really lucky, kind of what you touched on. The first person that I kind of started learning from when I decided that witchcraft was my journey and that's where I was going, I was very lucky because she was similar to what you were saying in that she's like, you know, I can give you all of my experiences and all the people I've learned from and all the titles that I have. She's like, but none of it really at the end of the day means anything. And she had grown in her practice so far past that, that I was lucky in that I never thought of myself as someone who was not worthy of knowledge or wasn't going to be able to, you know, achieve those things, or like certain things were off limits to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can definitely, you know, attest to being someone in community who people like you who say, hey, I do this and this works for me. Maybe it'll work for you. Maybe it won't. And who own up to things that are difficult or not. Those are the people that I'm drawn to. I have an aversion to people who say, no, this is the way, this is the only way, you know, this is all I do. I like people who say, I've learned all kinds of things, and if something interests me, I follow it, you know?
Exactly.
Witchcraft is such a mosaic of so many different things that, to be honest about, you know, allowing yourself to be open to different things and to be honest about the difficulties, to me, that's so important for people who are going to take some sort of a leadership role in community.
Yeah, and I think it's also so important to have your leaders be transparent. I mean, I don't want, and in fact, I'm very clear on this, is one of the things that really turns me off. I'm not a guru. You know, I read a long time online, guru, G-U-R-U. I mean, I'm not, I grew up, in fact, I'm a native San Franciscan, and majority of my neighborhood was lost in Jonestown. So I actually have my neighbor who lived down the hall from me. She lost her son-in-law, her daughter, and her grandchild at Jonestown. So I've seen what cult mentality can do. So I'm totally averse to it. And I've seen it happen in the pagan community, unfortunately. And it's something that is definitely a red flag for me. So I definitely don't like cult mentalities. I don't like cult leaders. And I can smell them a mile away and run as fast as I can.
Yeah. No, and this is so important, you know, especially with as many people I keep meeting saying I'm looking for the right group. And it's like, okay,
exactly.
Keep looking until you find that right group. But so to bring this back, since we're going to be releasing this episode right around the beginning of spring, would love to hear about, you know, you're talking about the nature you work with and your ancestry and the grounding work. How does springtime affect your magic, or how do you use the energies of springtime in your magic?
So, you know, it's really interesting because when you asked me about this, there has been something I've been kind of building up with my clients. You know, one of the things, a lot of my clients I saw like a few weeks before the new year and, you know, several weeks after, I've been saying, you know, take the energies, like we had some eclipses and stuff, to really let go of the past.
Oh, so yeah.
I would say now's a good time to make a list. Because I'm really about visual things, because I'm very much a visceral person. Make a list of all the mistakes. I put those in, you know, quotation marks, because everything is a learning experience. Put down all the things you don't want to keep repeating. What are the things, whether it's like relationships, if you want to name a person, like I don't want this in my life, or I don't want these energies in, you know, my life or the relationship that I have. I don't want these energies in the job. that I have right now. I don't want these energies of where I'm living or whatever. And just kind of put that down, like, I'm releasing this. And I release it in a way that's not judgmental of me for making, I quote unquote, mistakes, but really saying, you know what, I'm cleaning out my closet, and I'll get to that in a moment. So it's like making a list of all the things you don't want to bring into the spring. And, you know, one of the things, because we do forget things, you ask your guides, whatever that might be, whoever you might work with, your deities, or even your higher self, and say, if there's anything I've forgotten on this list, please include it, you know, for my highest good. You know, put it in a pan, throw a little alcohol on it, and burn it. And,
oh,
you know,
wow, I love that.
Outside,
I like that.
But you're not, because especially in California, we burn stuff and then we dispose of it a very safe way. But, you know, take it outside, you don't set off your smoke alarm. Burn it till it's nothing but embers, and, you know, it's nothing but ashes. Mix it with a little water, and then either put it down your garbage disposal or your toilet, like saying, I'm letting go of this, you know?
Yes, I like that. Then, I love that.
And then, like, really sit and marinate. Like, now that I've let go, like, imagine you've just taken this amazing purifying salt and oil bath. So now you're going to sit and go, what is it I want to bring in? And take your time and really, you know, be luxurious in that. Like, now all the blessings of the universe are going to come to me. And really make a list. Now, the thing about it is, because we're witches, we know that this can only happen if we start really, like, almost making a pledge to ourselves, our higher selves. And then, you know, start cleaning out your closets. All those things you were keeping, either because I was going to lose weight or I was going to gain weight. And really go, you know what, this had really good memories, but I'm ready to let it go. And really, you know, do whatever you need to do and take it down to your local Goodwill or whatever, you know, thrift store. And then you can either sell it for money or, you know, give it away and say, I am now making room in both my physical life and my spiritual life for the blessings of spirit my ancestors have been holding for me. And that's what I would do, is like a kind of a spiritual ritual, because to me, I really believe the spiritual and the physical, it's really important to unite, because to the way that I was taught is that's how magic happens.
Yes.
So you're doing it both on a spiritual level, and you really are cleaning out. If you even if you get those feelings like, you know, I'm not ready to let go of that, acknowledge it. And you ask for help, like, okay, this is here. What do I need to do to really let go of that? And let your guides work with you and help you to see why you're not letting go of it yet. And also, if you're not ready to let go, it's all right. You know it's there, and you'll work through it in your own time. Because one of the great things about being raised Catholic, I recognize guilt a mile away. I'm like, going, okay, because a lot of times my clients, like when I ask, the first thing I ask them, I said, do you have daily practice? And they go, I know I should. I go, wait, stop. Okay, yes, you should. And if you don't right now, it's not the right time, because I just... Guilt is just, it's like some of my kryptonite. It's, no guilt. So, you know, just, the thing is, one of the things I've learned from many of my teachers, whatever spell work you do, make it as simple as possible and make it as fun as possible.
Oh, I love that.
You know, it's all about the younger self. If the younger self is engaged, it's going to communicate to the higher self, and that's when you make it happen. But if you make it like this long, drawn-out thing, but you write this long-ass spell that you got to look on a piece of paper to read, it's not the right one. You know, you're doing this with your heart, your soul, your spirit, and just have fun with it. And if you cry, you cry. That means you're releasing something you needed to. But I think more importantly, it's almost like as you clean out your closet and you let go of stuff, you're also looking at the memories, both good and bad, and going, I'm ready to let this go for new memories, for new opportunities, for new relationships, for new, you know, whatever. So make it fun for yourself, too.
I love that you mentioned the fact that when you're doing spell work, that there is action that's also required. And so I've worked with people before who are, you know, like they really want a relationship. They really want to bring someone else into their life. And it's like, you can do all the spell work you want, but when your house is, you know, full from floor to ceiling and there's literally no place for someone to walk into your home, let alone feel a part of your home, then it just doesn't work. You need, it's not just thoughts and intentions. You have to put actions behind that and show that I don't just want this. I'm willing to make this happen.
Yeah. And I can't tell you how many clients I've had that really, really tarot clients that really, really want a new relationship, but they're still seeing that non-committal person part-time.
Yeah, and they're like, no.
And they think, oh, I'm going to fall. They've seen too many rom-coms. They think they're going to fall. Like, the right person's going to walk in the door.
Drop in front of their face.
And steal their heart away. And it's like, I keep saying, you can't that person won't walk in while you are either actually still dating this person, or even more challenging if you're still fixated on them, even if they're a continent away and you don't talk anymore, but you're still waiting for, and then they're like, but I'm not waiting. I said, but you just called me to ask what they're up to via tarot.
Yes, exactly.
You are for sure still thinking about them. Yeah.
And I really appreciate that you said, keep it fun. Cause I think that's where I make a mistake a lot. And that's why I think I don't do as much magic as I could, because I do believe in keeping it simple, but honestly, it's never really occurred to me to like, let's keep it fun. And that's,
remember, a whole bunch of signs in fire, and I'm a Sag. If it's not fun, I get bored and I lose interest. So I've got to keep myself engaged. It's kind of self-preservation for the witch. It's like, let's make it fun. Let's keep it simple. So you're in and out and having cakes and ale before you know it. So, yeah.
So what do you consider to be really fun to do in a spell? What gives you joy when you do your spell work?
Well, it's really funny because lately I have a friend and we've like made this commitment to work out like almost every day. And like Sundays are a day that we go and we work out, and then usually what we do is we go and we do some spell work. We've been doing work, and she's Santeria and I'm Ifa. So we go in, we do some offerings to the ancestors and, you know, for a petition or something. And then, you know, like usually we'd go to the beach, we go to the mountains, we go to the lake. So we're out in nature doing this. And it's interesting finding nature in the Bay Area sometimes because of all the gentrification and building. A lot of places we used to go are hard and hard to get to. But it's always that little challenge. We find a little place, we do our little offerings, and then we go to treat ourselves. We go and we find, like, I've become a pescatarian, so I don't eat meat anymore. So we find a restaurant we've never eaten at. And, you know, and the Bay Area has wonderful restaurants to have a really good meal, to ground, to talk, and, you know, plan for what we're going to be doing ritual-wise the week after. So, you know, to me, what the fun is, one, being out in nature, two, having a really impromptu, like, okay, this is our intention, let's see what it looks like when we get there, and, you know, knowing that we already have all the tools we need, you know, to make it happen. And intention to me is the most important thing when you're doing spell work. And then also like enjoying, you know, cakes and ale or like a really nice meal and just, you know, talking and stuff. So it really is about that community of like, okay, let's be out in nature, you know, do the magic, and then go and, you know, share food and things. So it's kind of like all my senses are being filled, not just my magical sense, but my sense of connection with, you know, a good friend or community, and my sense of just enjoying a good meal, because I love to eat healthy now. Now that I don't eat a lot, I want to make sure that what I put in my body is something that's enjoyable.
My favorite thing about how she just answered that question is what she didn't say is you sit at your altar and you have certain things and you need certain tools and you have to... You just talked about magic in a way that involves living your life. And I think that is, to me, that's it right there. And I think so many people get stuck in this concept of doing this way, in this place. The fact that you just mentioned spending a day with your friend, going outside into the woods and doing all of these things, and then eating a wonderful meal, like, that's it. Like, you can incorporate magic and witchcraft in, it is a part of your everyday life, and it doesn't have to involve sitting in front of an altar with a mantra and, you know, certain tools.
And, you know, you also have to understand, I grew up, like, my baby witch years was in reclaiming, you know, anarchist witch community, at least it was back in the day, and it's all about not doing the typical way. You go with what you're feeling and stuff, and it doesn't mean we didn't plan rituals. It just meant we also were open, because a lot of times, I know if you both are priestesses of ritual, there's always going to be a time, like, you can have the best laid intentions, something happens, and you have to be flexible enough to be able to accommodate. The ritual's still going to happen, even if something might have occurred. So that's kind of the way I was trained. And remember, coming from Catholicism, where everything is very dogmatic, I love the freedom of witchcraft. And
yes,
I love the thing that knowing its intention and spirit's going to provide. And there's been many a time when my friend, and, you know, when you do Santeria and Ifa, there are certain tools you're supposed to have. And we were doing a ritual to Yamaya, and, you know, we had to get it done because it was a full moon. It was all this energy and stuff. And we could not find one key ingredient And, you know, we got to the beach and she said, that's cool. You're down here. We're having a good time. And, you know, being able to let go of that, like, you know what? It's the fact that we're doing this, that we're honoring her and our love and everything else is there. And that's all she really needed. And trusting that. So I think the more you do it, yes, you definitely trust that. But I also think if you allow yourself to say, I trust my intention, I trust that my heart is going to be seen by spirit, God is God, that's all that really happens. You know, that's all you really need.
I think that's really important, too. I said that to someone the other day. They were, like, so worried. They didn't have this herb they wanted to use. They couldn't find this thing that they wanted to use. And I was like, hey, are you just don't stress out about this. Just, like, sit down, center, try and figure out what to do and use your intuition. It's not like this one book is going to tell you how to do this exact thing the exact way. I mean, people, I think, underestimate the power of using your own intuition in order to kind of guide your ritual in general.
Yeah, and I think there's opportunity with the missing ingredient because maybe the spirits want something else.
Yeah, maybe they don't want that.
Or they don't want that. I remember a couple of years ago I was doing a ritual with my old coven, and we were reaching out to the goddess Brigid and asking her for assistance, and she is a big one of her her offerings is milk and cheese, and I forget why I couldn't get the cheese that I wanted. Maybe I ran out of money, or I think I forgot to get it at the grocery store and I didn't have time. And I was like, what am I gonna do? I've really messed this up. And suddenly there's a knock on my door, and there was a man who answered, a man there, and he didn't speak any English, but he was selling flan for $5 a thing. And at first I'm like, no. And I went, wait a minute, flan is made of milk. And I said, yes. I was like, no, come back, I want one.
I love it. See, she was like saying, sweetheart, here, don't stress. She goes, this is good.
She goes, I'm tired of your cabbage cheddar. I want flan. And there's a guy down the street who's making it. And that's what I want in my ritual. And I've never had anybody before or since when I was living in New York City sell me food products at my door. And so...
That's so funny. And I got to tell you, flan's not one of those things you normally would sell by the door.
Right, exactly. Actually, that happened to me yesterday. That happens all the time.
No, this is where Kanani's telling lies.
We're going to have to warn Luna. I think she's going on my girlfriend list.
Oh, God.
I really love her.
Well,
I really love her.
Luna, I'm sorry. Kanani gets really obsessed with some of our guests. But the good news is she's too lazy to be a real stalker, so she's never going to bother you. She's just going to walk around telling everyone that you're her girlfriend.
I warned Chiron because we had Chiron on earlier, and I messaged him, and I let him know. I said, I am a very harmless stalker because, one, I'm lazy. I'm easily distracted by shiny things, and I have a very short attention span. So really, you have nothing to worry about other than the fact that I will just fangirl and love you from afar.
Oh, I love it. I could use that, yeah.
You know, everything you're talking about, the fun and the being outside, really makes sense with doing... It makes sense all year,
yes.
But especially spring.
Yes.
We've been stuck inside. I mean,
yes.
We're in the Pacific Northwest. We're still going to be stuck inside, but we're going to just go outside and get wet. Like...
I mean, like we do for 75% of the year.
Yeah, so it's just, this has been so good. I mean, to me, I feel like fresh air has actually come into my spirit just by talking about this. So,
yes.
Yes, I know. I've been doing beach rituals for the past few months, and every time I've decided to go to the beach, it's been storming. So I'm surprised I haven't gotten pneumonia yet. So I'm really looking forward to being able to do a beach ritual where it's actually maybe a slight breeze and no moisture. I can't wait. Really looking forward to that.
So I have a question for you as a fellow witch mama. I also have a Virgo and I have a Capricorn. So you can feel sorry for me. That's totally fine.
My.
But is there anything in particular that you like to do for the spring that involves your wee one?
Well, my wee one now is 30 years. She'll be 30 years old in August. So she's not wee anymore, except when she needs to talk to me at 2 o'clock in the morning. But
yes,
you know, one of the things I used to love to do with Ryan, we had, and it's really funny, this is going to sound weird, but we had a ritual we would do every Saturday. And so like I was living over in Oakland by Lake Merritt. So we'd get up early in the morning, go into the city, and we go to brunch at our favorite place for brunch. It's down in it's Mama's Cafe. It's down in Union Square, not Union Square. It's Washington Square, down like near North Beach. We go there for brunch. Then we go see a matinee, whatever Disney movie was out. But the thing that she really remembers, we would go thrift shopping in the Haight. And to me, it was a time of like being together, but it was also just like manifesting. Because to this day, my daughter can go into any thrift store. She shops a lot of thrift stores in Madison. She could find a designer bag or something that's never been used with a tag on it for like $5 or $6. So we would sit there and we go, okay, what do you want to manifest today? What do you want to find at the store? And she said, I want to do this, this, and this. And sure enough, she would find it with whatever little allowance I gave her in her price range. So it's one of those things, like my daughter is a total femme fatale. I mean, she is a child of Eshoo, but total Oshun. So she loves to dress up, but she's on limited budget. So she has learned the art of being able to manifest whatever she needs by going to whatever store. She could still go to the department store and find something clearance. Never been used.
Just wow, exactly. I love it.
Oh, I mean, she should bottle that. I mean, I'd buy it. Bottle whatever she does, put that in juju. So we're moving into our final segment. So Luna, hopefully you'll join us for this ritual, and that what we do is we call it as below, so above, just to mess with everybody. And we talk about something we want to let go of, and we talk about something we want to bring in, which, you know, really harkens to what you were talking about.
Yes.
So we write it down on a piece of paper and throw it in a cauldron, and then we go and burn it up before we go. Kanani is getting the cauldron.
I've heard that somewhere before. Where have I heard that? That sounds so familiar.
I know, right? So
great lines.
Yes. It's all perfect. So, all right. I can go first. What do I want to let go of? You know, it's been a process of me letting go of a lot of anger about my magical burnout. And I felt like I'd made some progress. And then I felt like today I started thinking about some argument I had with someone a while ago, and it just flared up and I got angry again. And reminding me that healing and letting go goes in cycles. And you have to keep reminding it that you don't have anything there. And I envisioned neutralizing it with vinegar. I don't know why I saw that, but I was like, if for some reason I'm throwing vinegar on this and it's neutralizing that anger, because I don't want that out in the world. So I'm still working on that. And what I'm bringing in is I want to bring in some more space, physical space into my house. Again, what you were talking about is, you know, this springtime, I start to feel like the house is closing in on me. And right, even as I'm sitting here, I'm seeing boxes and shelves that are full of stuff that I need to sort out, get away, give away, clean up, or and organize. So that's what I'm bringing in, is more space and organization in my home. So that's it. Hillary.
Yeah, I am also on that kick. I feel like, so I moved from Oakland to here.
Wow.
Let's see, 6 months ago. And there are like, I know it's like both seems like it just happened and also seems like it's been forever at the same time. And so I think I'm at a point where I realize, like, I kind of unpacked the house and I realize there's stuff that just doesn't fit. And a lot of that is like stuff I've collected and used in rituals or stones I've used in the past, but they're like too much of it. So, I really wanted to let go of, I have a habit of keeping things that hold emotional value to me like too long. Like I don't need every rock I've ever touched that anyone's ever given me in my lifetime, because I would have to get a storage unit. So my letting go is letting, like, understanding that I can let go of things and the emotional attachment can be released, but the energy is still there. And so I'm bringing in space for new and amazing things and organization and a lighter energy just in general in the house. So yeah, so
let that be. All right.
I am letting go still, because it's a process, of the, I'm getting better at being less busy, and I'm starting to have a lot of guilt for having been so busy for so long. And that is the part that I'm struggling with. I actually have done a good job of starting to let projects go and focus on projects that I feel deserve my focus. Mm-hmm. But I'm having a lot of guilt over the fact that my brain has been so consumed by so many things for so many years. And that in itself of itself has taken time away from my children.
Mm.
And so I am focused on letting go of the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And I am focused on bringing in more fun. So the kids and I and my husband are doing a lot more things that when we are together, we're really mm-hmm. making a focus for it to be fun and for us to be
excellent.
Doing something and experiencing something and having a really good time. So that is what I am letting go of. I'm letting go of guilt and mm-hmm. I am bringing in fun.
Excellent.
Nice. So and for you, Luna, what can we help you?
So I was, as you guys were talking, I was listening, I was thinking, I think for me, and this is something like someone had said, it's ongoing. I'm letting go of my anger about the social injustice going on in the world.
Yeah.
Because I think for me as an empath, it's not just me, I'm feeling so much. So what's one of the, with the work I'm doing with the ancestors, they're showing me ways to let go of that. Because to me, I'm not good at anything if I'm holding that energy, that anger, that frustration, that sadness, that fear. So I'm going to be working on that, letting go of that. So I'm bringing in a healthy, sustainable relationship. I really want to have a partner that, because, you know, I've done the poly thing and it's grand, and I'm going to be 57 this year. So I'm ready to just have one person that I can really feel is my friend, my lover, my partner, whoever I'm going to be walking through the next phase of my life with. So I'm working on manifesting a healthy, sustainable relationship.
And not to embarrass you, but Luna is a real babe. She's a real catch.
Yes.
So y'all can see her picture on our website. So any of you eligible witches out there who are looking for a really hot lady who's really good at magic.
Tell them, honey, I don't take no shit. Just let them know.
She takes no shit. Swear,
so do not bring your shit.
Don't bring your shit. Let's put it that way.
Leave your shit at home.
Need not apply.
Yeah, exactly. Those with shit, stay home.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or at least be working through it.
Yeah, at least
not make it her problem.
You know what?
Yeah.
If you're working through it and I don't have to help you work through it because I do not work on my lovers. I'm a healer, but I do not work on them. So you gotta have somewhere else to take them.
Yeah.
Boundaries, absolutely. Yeah. Nice.
Good boundaries.
Oh my God, this has been awesome. And Luna, this was so great. And we were definitely going to be tapping you again to come back and talk with us more.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Oh, Luna, thank you so much for being with us today, and we will see everybody in 2 weeks when you will all hear about Kanani and Hillary and my trip to the beach, doing exactly what Luna was talking about, going
beach
and making
magic.
Some magic. And until then, you know, make magic happen and enjoy it.
Join us on the first and third Mondays of the month for magical tools, tips, and stories about living as a witch in today's world.
Find us at thatwitchlife.com for archived episodes or to ask your burning